Good evening, let's all stand. Take your songbooks, turn to page number 266. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Thank you. Please remain standing for prayer. Brother Steve McGill, will you open us up tonight? Amen. Remain standing. Turn to page number 318. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake thee, take it to and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome each and every one who's come out this evening, and those who may be out in the parking lot worshiping with us this evening. We do have a few announcements to be made. This Wednesday, August 5th, we will be resuming our ministries night with the youth group and Awana. So if you can be here Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. Then next Sunday will be our homecoming service in the afternoon. Instead of having a big potluck, we're asking everyone to fix yourself a picnic lunch. Yogi will be around to collect. And we'll be setting tables up and different things outside so we can social distance. We will have some bag lunches and different things for those who may be visiting and popped in. So it'll be different, but it's still homecoming. And then on August 12th, we'll be having our business meeting directly after services. Then on August 19th will be the Awana store and the promotion celebration. I guess that's it. Anything at the pantry? They wiped you out? Okay, so if you need an eggplant, you can see Joanne. And other than that, no announcements. Who came to sing for us tonight? Charles, come on.
In the Bible, there's a parable about the wheat and tares. Out through summer, they could look so much the same. But when harvest time was come, their true colors were revealed. The tares would turn to black, and the wheat to golden grain. When they see through me, I want them to see Him. In the harvest may my colors be proven true. Lord, help me not to look alike. The tares that spring up in the night, when they see through me, I want them to see you. I've heard it said we're the only Bible some people ever read. How they view the Lord by what they see me. Lord, make my life an open book, so that all who stop to look see the Lamb of God when they see through me. The fields are filled with tares today. the tears that spring up in the night. When they see through me, I want them to see you.
Amen. Message kind of... That song kind of goes with the message we preached this morning. Amen. Living Christ in today. Y'all, come on, going to sing one. We're having a dedication service tonight for Kenneth Kitts. And they're outside. They're going to be in here in a little while. But they're outside. They're listening to us. And they want to dedicate the child. In some places, they just... bring them up and give them a certificate and tell them go on your way and do something. I believe it's a little more important than that, and we're going to get in the Word of God for a few minutes and just look at some things I think might help them and bring some realization. They've been faithful in bringing the kids to church, to Sunday school, and they maybe they do it outside, but they're faithful in doing it. Amen. And a lot of y'all don't know it, but they've been coming down on Saturday and just taking them down to the Sunday school room to do the lesson with them, just so they're familiar with the lesson, but trying to social distance and keep everything safe. So I applaud them for taking the effort and making the effort to do it. And I believe they have taken their commitment to raising their children in a godly home serious. They have done it with Robert, and now they want to dedicate Kenneth. So with the COVID and everything, this has kind of got pushed back, and Miss Bethany didn't want to wait till he was looking like a Smith brother on a cough drop box before we got to do it, so wanted to do it while he was still a child, so we're doing that today. But this song, I hope, will be a blessing to them, and bless your hearts as well. For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord, for every sparrow that sings, oh, and makes sweet melody, for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. For my home and family, for the joy my children bring, for shoes on our feet, plenty to eat, thank you, Lord. For the church where I worship and pray, and for the freedom I have today, for your spirit I feel, your presence so real, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I couldn't stand. Thank you, Lord, and for giving your life for me on the cross at Calvary, for taking my place, mercy and grace, thank you, Lord. I just just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for. Even in the midst of the pandemic and the riots and everything else that's going on, we have so much to be thankful for. And if we would only learn to start counting our blessings instead of our problems, we'd have a much different outlook on life and on the way things transpire and on the way things are happening. But I'm thankful that he's always faithful, he's always present, and he deserves a word of thanks. He deserves our praise. He deserves us giving him the glory and the honor that's due his name. Turn with us tonight, if you would, into Joshua chapter number 24. The book of Joshua, chapter number 24. And as we preach this message tonight, we preach it as a charge to Bethany and Stephen. We preach it as a charge to our church and their church family. We preach it as a charge to all you who will claim Christ as your Savior as you live before these children in this sin-filled world, that they might be encouraged and they might be helped in the things of the Lord. In Joshua chapter number 24, we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done to you." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege of being able to gather in your house. We thank you, Lord, for this special occasion, just to be able to have a family, Lord, that wants to dedicate their child unto you. And God, it blesses our heart that young people are still coming to you. Young people still want their families to be Christ-centered, and young people still want their children to know all about you, Father, and to live their lives before you. And Father, as we come tonight to dedicate little baby Kenneth James, Lord, we pray tonight, Father, that you would just be with his mom and dad, and you would just keep in them and still in them and just place in them a heart and a desire to seek the things of God rather than the things of this world, and to raise their children, Father, in a manner that's pleasing unto you, a manner consistent with your holy word. Help us tonight, Father, just to see some things, Lord, that might help us and might encourage us. And Lord, we are going to praise you for what we know you will do. And we ask your blessing, Father, in all that we do. In Jesus' name tonight we pray, we say amen and amen. As we come to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua is challenging the children of Israel. And he's reminded them of all that God has done and all that God will do and can do and wants to do. And one of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Bible is Joshua 24:15 and Joshua's statement, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And truly that ought to be our confession, that ought to be our charge, our statement to ourselves every day. That as for me and my house, amen, as for everything I do, it's going to be done in service to the Lord. And if we do it in service to the Lord, we know, as we preached this morning, as if we get the God right, we get Christ right in our lives, our lives before everyone else will fall in place and will be just what they should. Joshua is charging the people here to make a serious decision, a decision that is going to come with some things that he wants them to understand. He says in verses 14 and 15, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua charged them to seek out God, to fear the Lord. And that word "fear the Lord" there doesn't mean to live in terror of the Lord, but to reverence the Lord and to keep him reverence before you and before your life and all things. He said to fear the Lord, and then he says, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And if you'll take and you'll make a purpose and you'll make a decision in your life to reverence God in your life, not just when you're out in public and not just when you're around other people, not just when you're in your church, but when you're at home and when the doors are shut and the friends and the family are all gone and it's no one there but you and your children, and you purpose in your hearts and your purpose in your lives that you're still going to reverence him, you'll raise up one of the greatest testimonies, one of the greatest examples to your children that can be done when they know that God has preeminence in every aspect of your life. And even at home, you know, we're all a little different at home. We kind of relax at home and we kind of slack off at home, but we need never to slack off on our reverence unto the Lord. Amen. If you'll do that in your home, it'll make a profound difference in your children's life. And he says to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. That word sincerity, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means free of dissimulation. It means it's honest. It means it's exactly what it seems like. You know, one thing about kids, they can kind of spot a phony. It takes them a while sometimes, but they can kind of pick out a phony, and they know a phony when they see one. Amen? Your kids will know when you're being sincere. Your kids will know when it's genuine. Your kids will know when it's fake. And I tell you, Christian, that's the way we need to live our lives, in sincerity before God. Amen. It also goes on to mean free from adulteration. It means it's pure. Our worship of God, our service to God ought to be pure. It ought to be motivated simply because of our reverence and our desire to please God and to worship God, and not because we're motivated by something else. Well, you've heard me use the example of Charlotte's Web before and Templeton the Rat. Amen? How many have read the story of Charlotte's Web? Every kid has read Charlotte's Web. Well, as we were sitting in the house this afternoon, she found the new version of the new Charlotte's Web movie and the Templeton Rat. And, you know, in the old version, I was always reminded Templeton was always, "What's in it for me?" And that's the way a lot of people are. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're only sincere and they're only faithful when there's something in it for them. Amen. When it's all about them and it's all about you. Friends, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Jesus said, If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. You want to draw your children unto God. You want to draw your children into a relationship with him. You want to draw your children into a desire to possess what you claim to have. You need to do it in sincerity. And then not only in sincerity, he said, but to do it in truth, the state of being the case fact, as a spiritual reality. That is in the definition in Webster's Dictionary of truth, as a spiritual reality. Amen. There's a lot of folks that go through the motions of serving God, go through the motions of living for the Lord, but it's just that. It's just a bunch of motion, and there's no truth in it. But praise God, when we live our lives as the God that we serve is a spiritual reality. The salvation that he gives us is a spiritual reality. The promises of his word are spiritual realities. Amen. We'll live our lives proving to our children that God means more to us than anything else in this world. See, they had to make some decisions. One of those things that Joshua reminded them about was the gods that their fathers served back in Egypt. Sometimes you need to forsake their traditions, forsake the things that your family does that are ungodly. You need to forsake those ungodly assemblies, those ungodly parties, those ungodly influences that are going to be around your children. There's been many a time that my wife and I have picked our children up and taken them out of family gatherings because it just wasn't a place to be, because the things that were going on there was ungodly. There's been many a times when we refused to go to things because the things that were going to be going on there were ungodly. You got to make that choice. It's going to be your children and God, or it's going to be the world and your children. Amen. And you're the one that makes the decision. You're the one who has to decide. We got to forsake the ungodly family traditions and the ungodly family things that are happening there, as he said in verse 14 and 15. And then we got to forsake the ungodly ways of the world around them. Not everybody in this world has your children's best interests at heart. Amen. And there's just some things in this world we need to separate ourselves from. Some things in this world your children need not be a part of. They'd be blessed if they grow up never knowing about some of these things. He said you can serve the gods of Egypt that your father served back in Egypt in bondage. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you come. Why did God throw the Amorites out anyway? Because they were ungodly. Amen. You got a choice. In this world today, it's getting really hard. It's getting really difficult to raise your children in a godly atmosphere. You send your children off to public school today, and they're not teaching them anymore. They're indoctrinating them. Amen. But you have a choice. You can let the world do the teaching. You can let ungodly family members do the teaching, or you can do the teaching. You can do the training. You can do the raising. I like what Joshua said, his bold confession, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's something we each need to take a stand on. If we claim Christ as our Savior, and if we claim that we want to live for Christ and do what's pleasing to Christ and live a life that's going to bring others to Christ, we got to make the choice to serve God irregardless of what anyone else does. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And I pray, and I hope for the rest of your life you make that choice before your dear children that you're going to serve the Lord. But There are challenges that you're going to face in verses 16 to 20. The people make their confession of acknowledging God's goodness and His faithfulness in verse 17. They acknowledge their intention to serve God in verse 18. They acknowledge that He's their God in the end of verse 18. And you know what? You can know all about God. You can claim God. And you can do everything that you think is right in serving God and still wind up a failure when you try to do it in yourself and in your own abilities. Joshua reminds them of the difficulty of serving God. God's not as forgiving as we like to make Him up to be. God is a forgiving God. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. But when we go on and on and on and we fail to submit ourselves and fail to surrender ourselves, it's going to be difficult. It's easier to say that you're going to serve God. It's easier to say that you're going to do this for God than it is to do it. Joshua tells them, you cannot serve God. The point he's trying to make is, it's a difficult thing to stand and say that I'm going to serve the Lord and to do it. It's easy to say, but it's a difficult thing to say I'm going to do it and do it. Amen. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own strength and in your own knowledge. If you're going to raise your children in a manner that's pleasing unto God, it's going to take God's leadership and God's direction in our lives. We need to search His word and seek His guidance and surrender ourselves wholly unto Him. If you'll do that, Bethany and Stephen, as parents, and let God's word be your guide. I don't care how many books you got on raising kids at home, you need to throw them away and get into the word of God. I don't care how much psychologists and psychology say that you shouldn't correct your children, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. You need to throw the books away and get into the book. See what does say the Word of God. Let the Word of God teach you. Let the Word of God direct you. Search it out. It's in there. Then you need to seek His guidance. If you're unsure of what to do, ask God. You don't have to do everything right this instant. Seek God's guidance. Seek God's direction. Seek His help in raising your children. You can't always be there, and you can't always see what they're doing, but God does. Amen? And you can seek His guidance and His direction, and sometimes He's going to just give you the peace of mind to let it be and let me handle it, to let you know that He's in control. Seek His guidance and then be willing to surrender unto Him. What's He tell you in the Word to do? Surrender unto Him. What's He tell you by the Spirit when you seek His direction to do? Surrender unto Him. Amen. The problem is we don't want to surrender our wills for God's will to be done. We want to do things our way and in our time and in our knowledge. But if you're going to search His word and desire His word to direct you, if you're going to seek His guidance, they're going to do you no good if you don't surrender yourself and surrender your will unto His to allow Him to do His work. And friends, that same thing goes true for all of us in our Christian walk. Amen? In our lives, living our lives. For all of us raising our families. We've got grandkids, and we've got 3 great-grandkids now. Amen. God has blessed us, and as we live before our children, as we live before our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, we realize how blessed we are, but we also realize that we got to hold Christ up first and foremost before them. Amen. Our friends and our neighbors know it. And if they don't, they should know it. Amen. making Christ the most important thing in your life. But then lastly, as we close, we see the choice that they made. Even though they know there's going to be difficulties, even though there's going to be some ties that they know that have to be cut and some things that they're going to have to deal with differently than their parents did, differently than the Amorites did, the people made their decision and they affirmed their decision. And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Stephen and Bethany, tonight, what you're saying and what you're doing by asking us to have this dedication service for little Kenneth is that we will serve the Lord. Amen. You're making that decision. You're making that choice on your own. You've come to me and asked me to do this. And I'm charging you. I'm challenging you. And I'm encouraging you to put everything else away in your life and make Christ first and foremost and make that decision to say, we will serve the Lord. You've been faithful in bringing Robert. You've been faithful in having him in Sunday school and making sure that his lessons, even during the pandemic, you've been faithful in doing these things. But that's fine, and that's all well and good now that they're little. But when they get older, when they become teenagers, don't let that desire, don't let that love of raising them in the house of God and in the fear and admonition of the Lord disappear. Keep them in God's house, and don't let anything else become more important when they should be in God's house than God's house. Don't let anything be more important in their lives than serving the Lord when it's time to serve the Lord and how to serve the Lord and when to serve the Lord. The people said, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Stephen and Bethany, if you'll make your way on in, you're witnesses this day. You're witnesses against yourselves that you have made this decision. You have made this proclamation. And you've come before this body to say that we will serve the Lord. See if they're trying to come in this way, will you, Danny? Billy's got it. I think they're over here. That one's open. I know that one's open. They're coming. Okay. And as they come, and as you have heard the message that I've preached unto them, you as their church family are witnesses to the decisions that they made here today. And sometimes we need to be faithful enough unto them to tell them that we're there to support them, to remind them of this pledge that they've taken. And the little ones are rambunctious. So we're not going to tarry around here much longer. I can't get this on with my mic on. So I will stay a distance back. You all come on up here and face the church. Stand right here in the middle. Joshua said unto the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Stephen and Bethany, as you're here tonight, do you affirm with your solemn vow that you're going to raise your children, you're going to raise Kenneth James, just like you are Robert, in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Throughout their lives, they will see and your lives and in your home and in your actions and in everything you do, your desire to reverence God and make Him first and foremost in your lives. You are witnesses against yourselves today. Church, do you affirm and do you promise and do you witness before Stephen and Bethany today that you will do everything within your power to help them raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Amen. As much as they've affirmed this and have made this proclamation, we are encouraged and we would normally shake hands, but we won't do that. We would normally have a time of fellowship, but we can't do that. But we want to let them know that we're encouraged by them. And we do have a certificate for you. And we have a Bible for my wife and I, for little Kenneth. And thank you for being willing to make this proclamation. Not many people today want to make commitments like this. We're thankful for a young couple that's willing to. Let's pray with them. Something else we like to do is come around them and pray with them. But let's stand to our feet tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And we ask you, please, to social distance. It's one thing they really are concerned about the children's health. But keep a social distance as we dismiss. I'm sure they might want to get some pictures with their family. Let them have that space and let them have that time. But let's pray with them and let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for allowing us to be here. We thank you for Stephen and Bethany and their sweet little family, Lord. And just ask you to continue to watch over them and keep them, to guide them, to direct them, and to help them, Lord, as they have made this decision and made this choice, and as they have made it purposed in their heart and lives to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, just guide them in all that they need done. Strengthen them and encourage them and help them along the way from day to day. And Father, help them to know that there's help a word away, Father, if they call on you and trust in you and depend on you. Now, Lord, help us as a church, Father, to support them in every way. We ask this all tonight in the precious name of Jesus, and we say amen and amen.